Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey there, Fancy Face, a.k.a. Doug Mellard.
Hey there, buddy boy, a.k.a. Doug Benson.
I like putting you on the spot, having to come up with more descriptive words.
Like buddy boy?
To match what I did for you. Yeah, and you even went alliterative as well.
Nailed it.
So, yeah, from Fancy Free, or Fancy Face, rather, to Buddy Boy. How's it going?
Fantastic.
Is it hot enough for you?
Oh, God, we're dying. Everybody's dying in Texas.
That's going to be my first question for our guests, too, because it's just a great way to start a conversation. The planet is on fire, and I just like to be chipper about it.
Yeah, it's hard to.
Our guest today is a very funny comedian out of Denver, so maybe it's not so as hot there. Probably is, though. And his name is Adam Caton Holland.
Whoa,
that's
boy.
Right. We got a hyphenated name, buddy.
Oh boy.
Might be an extra long episode.
A two-parter.
Yeah. So let's go to work. Hello, Adam Caton Holland. Is it hot enough for you?
Oh, boy, howdy, Doug. It is. It's coming in around 97 degrees right now.
Oh, Denver.
Yeah.
Oh, man. This is, I'm joking around about it, but holy crap. The planet is burning, and we got to enjoy it while we can. How warm is it in Texas today, Doug?
Oh, I haven't looked, but I assume over 100. Oh, 96.
Oh, okay.
Cold front, guys.
Wow. You and day to Adam celebrate. Are your weather twins right now. You're about the same temp.
Totally.
A little cooler here in Southern California. It's been the weirdest thing watching record heat happen everywhere across the country, and we're just sort of getting our normal summer here. But... enough about the weather. That's not what we're here to talk about. First of all,
kind of why I came.
Oh, well, I'm glad we got a little in there for you, so you won't go away totally disappointed.
Thanks.
And it might come up again during the convo, because I do tend to go back to it.
Okay, I'll be ready.
You know, whenever the opportunity presents itself. You know, you reach a certain age and weather becomes the most interesting topic, and then we have all this crazy weather on top of it. Like my grandparents would talk about the weather endlessly back when we weren't even concerned about the weather. You know, we weren't concerned about dying from it. They would still talk about
nice,
it constantly.
Nice breezes. You're like, okay, this is very quaint.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can't sit on a balcony with an old person and not hear about exactly what it feels like. But how are you is a better question to ask.
I'm great. I'm in the Doug Benson universe. I'm always thrilled to be here.
Well, that's good. That's good that you're happy to participate today.
You, of course, because it's going to be a rough one.
Yeah.
We are going to tear you a new one.
I mean, it's an Adam versus two Dougs. I do feel a little bit boxed in.
Right. Well, you know, we always double team all of our guests, and you know, it's a pretty gentle process. It's about names. We talk about names. So the first name I want to ask you about, also by way of letting people know more about what you do, sure. You're a member of a comedy outfit. Is that a good word for it? A comedy outfit?
We call ourselves a gang. We're a comedy gang.
A comedy posse.
Yeah, comedy, we rough up other comedy gangs.
Comedy crew. It's your crew.
Yeah, it's my crew. It's my comedy crew.
It's your most chill slack mob.
It's my skit partners.
Good old skit partners. That does not mean that they make love to each other. Maybe in the skits, but not in real life.
Right.
But this group that you've become a member of, possibly even started, I don't know the exact origins. That's why I'm asking. It's called the Growlicks.
That's right. That's right. I did start it, but prior to that, we had other shows going on, but then we kind of boiled it down to myself and Ben Roy and Andrew Orbidal. And we went on to have a show called Those Who Can't, which we're very proud of. And we currently have a podcast called The Growlick Saves the World, but we became the Growlicks. And I'll tell you, that is in a comic strip, when you see a swear word and they can't print that swear word, they do an asterisk or an ampersand exclamation point, and that is referred to as a Growlicks.
Whoa. And so
I learned that one day and I was like, that's fucking perfect. And we just became that. And now no one knows who we are or how to spell it or say it and can't really find us on anything. It was the perfect choice for a name for a group.
Well, what do they call it? I always think in my mind, I flash on what's the word for when like a bar, especially in a college town, has like to go big to go jugs of booze.
Oh, don't they a, call growler, that? A growler. A growler.
Close.
That's a growler. So yeah, for some reason when I hear Growlicks, I think, oh, that's must be like the male and female version of growler.
Somebody else told me they always hear Grovlocks, which is like smoked fish on a bagel.
We're an old
Jewish trio out of upstate New York, and we do mostly vaudeville skits and bits.
I feel like I'm finally ready to go on Jeopardy now that I know that a series of symbols instead of a dirty word is called a Growlicks.
Well, we like to say it's obscure and pretentious, just like us.
Yeah, but, you know, like I've named a lot of things in my life where people go, why is it called that? When I tell them, they don't have a new piece of information that they can share and enjoy. Like that one. Because I know you're still going to have to explain what it is, but it's still nice to go, oh, look at that Growlicks. And then when somebody's like, what are you talking about? Go that asterisk, an exclamation point, and, you know, pound sign and another thing. They used to like those things used to be crowded with symbols that we use more regularly these days. Like the at symbol you can't really use because then Twitter will think you're trying to put somebody's handle.
Or a hashtag. Yeah. You can't really use that either.
Yeah. You can't use those in those anymore. So you got to really get creative, I guess. And a lot of people like to just do like some sort of asterisk or dash just for the like the vowels in the swear words, which really amuses me because I mean I don't want to raise a kid that doesn't see F blank CK and know that it what that is
for real,
because it can't be any other word, right?
I mean, I don't know,
one word like it can be.
Sometimes those Beetle Bailey guys are just like shit. I feel like they're yelling shit a lot in Beetle Bailey.
I think they are. Yeah. I think when you're in the, but they're never what do they call it? In the muck. They're never in the soup.
No. Exactly.
They're never out there in the, in the fields.
After and they just get annihilated. It's like the ending of Das Boot or something. Like all the Beetle Bailey guys are just toast.
Ends with their funerals.
They're just in the same squadron with, Gomer Pyle at Full Metal Jacket.
Oh man, just draped coffins coming home at the end of Beetle Bailey.
Yeah. Well, now that we got to the bottom of this Growlicks mystery, let's talk about your name. One part of it at a time. Looks like we got a four-parter here. So let's dig in, if you will. Growing up Adam. Just
yes.
Isolate the name Adam. Don't think about the rest of your name. Just on its own merits, just Adam. How was that for you?
It was fine. I never disliked it. We weren't religious in any way. So I didn't even know until I was like 14 or something that Adam was the first man and like, or the context of Adam and Eve. So I didn't really have any grandiosity around it because I never had picked up a Bible in my life. So to me, Adam was just a name. Nobody made fun of it. People would say, Madam, I'm Adam. It's a palindrome. I was always cool with Adam.
I mean, that's not, you know, palindromes are fun to learn about. And so you're like, you know, bringing that fun everywhere you go with that name. Shit. And it's not short for anything, right? It's just Adam.
It's just pure Adam. I mean, I didn't love it. Like I was, you know, I was born in 1980 and for some reason, maybe Jason Bateman, but I always thought Jason was the coolest name you could have back then. So I think if I had to choose, I wished I was a Jason when I was a kid. So I didn't, right. I guess I wasn't entirely comfortable being an Adam if I was thinking about how cool it would be to be a Jason.
Yeah, but specifically Jason Bateman. You were still going to keep it biblical.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't really know. I still haven't read a lot of the Bible.
Might have been thinking about the Argonauts, but I believe Jason was in the Bible as well. I think Doug is one of the few names you won't find in the Bible.
Or anywhere. Just in commercials with emus.
Can't find it in any literature, especially of the religious sort. Although, you know, maybe there's some Dougs in high up in Scientology or there's probably some Dougs in the Mormon world, I would imagine.
I bet you there's a lot of Mormon Dougs. It feels like a wholesome Mormon name.
It does.
Can you imagine like a Hemingway book with the lead male, a guy named Doug?
Have you ever gone out with someone named Eve, Adam?
No, I never have, but it's definitely been anytime I've ever met an Eve, there's immediate flirtation. They're like,
it's icebreaker. Yeah,
it's a huge icebreaker that I've never really parlayed into dating, but it definitely is a moment anytime an Adam meets an Eve.
Right. And it crosses all age groups. I think if you meet an old lady or a baby named Eve, the same jokes will start flying.
For sure. There'll be like rib jokes. It's definitely a moment. It's a pause. Like everything slows down for a second when an Adam meets an Eve.
It's like the Matrix or something. It's got like, you can slip in and out of the time it takes for that to settle in with everybody.
The camera moves a full 360. It crosses the axis.
Well, now we're going to get into the biggest mystery of your name to all of us that know you as Adam Caton Holland. And that's what middle name are we dealing with here?
Boy, you guys are going to have a field day. Okay. My middle name is Lauren. Adam Lauren Caton Holland, but it's not the masculine spelling of Lauren. It's Lauren. So I'm Adam Lauren Caton Holland. That's my
middle. Wow. I mean, yeah. I couldn't have met. I mean, I was thinking maybe the only way to make your name more snooty sounding would be with like a Leslie or Marion as your middle name.
Oh my God.
And then it turns out it's Lauren. That's an amazing middle name.
Yeah. It's my middle name. And, my grandfather was named Lauren Griffin Caton. My uncle is named Lauren Griffin Caton Jr. My cousin is Lauren Griffin Caton III. And so there's been a line of Laurens in my family. They're Southern. And my mom's like, in the South, Lauren is a man's name, even spelled that way. And then I've grown up and I'm like, no, that's not true at all. I've been to the South a bunch. I've never met another Lauren spelled this way. And my uncle and my cousin are like, yeah, we just get mocked all the time. People thought we were girls growing up when they read the name in a class list. And so, yeah, that's, but my mom wanted to get it into my name somewhere. So there it is.
What kind of shitty teachers reading off middle names, especially ones that are going to embarrass the kids?
There's got to be
Lauren's their first name. Lauren is those guys.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. My God.
My cousin goes by Griffin. He just ditched it. He's like, fuck it. I'm Griffin. And that's a cool name.
Yeah.
If I were their teacher, I would just call, you know, I would just go with Larry or something, you know, but like,
yeah,
it is funny that you add a C and an E and it does become Lawrence.
Lawrence.
But it's not short for that.
Nope. Not at all.
Wow, but that's really something.
I liked your first takes on my middle name, so maybe I should just become Lawrence, because Lawrence is definitely in keeping with the fancy schmancy sound of Adam Caden Holland. Adam,
you should
Lawrence.
Definitely, yeah, you should definitely like pay the fee and wait in a line and go through the process of legally changing your middle name.
If I do that, to Lawrence, then I'm going to be Adam Polo Ralph Lauren Caden Holland.
Yeah, I mean, is there a limit to the number of names you can give yourself when you
go in there
and have your name legally changed? I guess a judge could say, hey, man, what are you doing with all these names?
Listen, dude, I'm just really bored. I always wanted to be a comic, but I don't have the balls to get on stage, so I'm doing this.
Yeah, give me this one thing where I've rebelled. And just let me have 20 names.
What do you care? I'm paying the fees. I'm going about it the right way. Just let me keep doing this.
Yeah, just in case names are a currency in the apocalypse.
I mean,
be ready.
I've heard Stranger Things, Doug. I've heard Stranger Things.
All right. So that is just, I can't get over this.
I know. I told you to take a seat.
I was so, I'm glad you did, because I was standing. I just went into this today just so excited that we had a hyphenated name and just didn't see this coming. Didn't see this Lauren thing coming. I was trying to think of any, I think almost any middle name would have decent flow with your name, with Adam Caden Holland. I can't think of one.
Maybe one syllable would be weird, like Bill.
Right. Adam, Bill, Caden Holland. Yeah, Caden. That's like, did you just have a stroke?
You can throw, you're right, though. Most words were, I like Adam Adirondack Caden Holland.
Yeah.
Like an old explorer.
Any number of syllables, I think, but one. I think Doug really nailed it. I think one is it just comes up too short. Nobody knows where to go.
Adam, Doug, Caden Holland.
Yeah. No, see, that's terrible. But Douglas. Yeah. Adam Douglas. Caden Holland sounds like you're about to become our next president.
Yeah, I'm related to Frederick Douglass.
Something important is going on. Yeah. What's going on with the Caden - Holland?
Well, I mean, I'll answer that question with the question. What do you think's going on with that Caden - Holland?
Well, that's what happens is you wonder if it's somebody taking their significant other's name, or somehow came down that there was a hyphen already with your parents that just came to you.
Well,
so I don't know which one it would be or how that even works.
I see. Yeah, people are always kind of curious about it. I always think it's cool when someone takes the wife's name on, like Jack White took on Meg White's last name. I always thought that was real cool. But that's not the case for me.
That's the real story with him?
I'm too stoned for that.
Jack White, that's not his last name. Jack White of the White Stripes fame. Married Meg White and just was like, fuck yeah, I'm taking that name.
So they were, I had heard multiple stories, but like brother, sister, they were married. Like I've heard so many different versions, I think. So I didn't know that was, that's crazy.
Yeah, no, they played up the brother, sister thing. Cause people, they liked the mystery. They were good at marketing themselves. But
right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you'd asked me right now, if they were brother, sister, I would have said, yes, I didn't know they were husband and wife and that he took her name. But now that I'm looking it up, though, he did really score in the trade because his previous last name was Shitstain.
Like, and thus the legend was born.
Old I should have made stank. Typing noises right before I said that. Like, I really looked it up.
You should have seen Jackie Shitstain play the guitar back around Detroit today.
I mean, he played it so aggressively because he was teased so relentlessly.
Right, right. It little Jackie him a, Shitstain.
He'd just go in the garage the and build a guitar and then play the shit out of it and then break it and then start building it even more.
Yep, that's the story.
And now he's just Jack Brown.
Wait, so did you answer the question?
No, not at all. I'm distracted.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
I like
having it. Let's do like, let's make this a suspenseful, like a tease going into our break.
I want, and yeah, we'll, if I can we'll tease come us back all the way.
With the answer after the break. Right. Some people won't stick around unless they have a really good, you know, unless we tease them with something big. And I think getting the answer to that question is what everybody wants right now. So,
why the hyphen? Why the hyphen?
Yeah. When we get back, we're gonna find out. We have to, you know, we need this break because it's a little, there's been too much drama. We'll be right back.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back for more name therapy. Our guest, Adam Lauren Caton Holland, is about to tell us what's going on with that hyphen and Caton Holland.
Yeah. And I apologize to the listeners who have just been pacing in circles over the course of that break. I know how hard this has been for you.
It's tough enough to listen to commercials without having this hanging on their minds.
Yeah. You're like, I got Adam. I got Lauren. Now what's the fucking answer? Well, the answer is feminism, my friends, because my mother, Linda Caton, was a bra burning hippie of the 60s. And she married my father, who's a very liberal fellow as well. And there was never even an issue. She said, if we're having children, we're hyphenating their last names. And that is that. And my dad had no problem with that because he's cool with that as well. And so me and my sisters were Caton Hollands, Caton hyphen Hollands. Linda Caton met John Holland and they squashed their names together.
Wow. That's very cool.
That's beautiful.
Is it? It was the source of a lot of confusion growing up. People think I'm Clayton to start with. So there's many issues at play.
Right, right. The dreaded Clayton. I didn't want to, you know, I wanted to really ease into that because we've already discussed in the past, you and I, how people love to throw that L in there and change Clayton to Clayton.
Right. And I, you know, it's a sensitive subject for me. So thank you for setting lightly around it.
I, you know, if I knew it had to come up today, but I was really saving it so that wouldn't have too much time to have a complete breakdown.
For sure, but, for sure. Smart.
But yeah.
It's like firing somebody on a Friday. It's really smart.
But I almost feel like your name now that I'm hearing all of it is so complicated that people didn't even know what to focus on in terms of like teasing you and whatnot.
Yeah, you're right about that. But when they found out the middle name was Lauren, they definitely led with that.
Right. So that's great that mostly remains hidden.
Yeah.
You didn't have the issue that your predecessors had when their first name was Lauren. I just can't even imagine.
I know. yeah, you know, I've heard lots of hyphenated last names growing up, and I bet you guys have as well. And there's been some real terrible combos. I will give it up to my parents. I feel like there's a pretty good cadence to Caden Holland. And when I got older and started playing sports, people would call me Caden Holland, just like by your last name, like you do on a soccer field or something like that. And so that's when I realized, like, okay, it sounds good still. It's not shitty, because sometimes people will just put any name together and it sounds awful. But Caden Holland, I like to think, has a ring.
Yeah, I mean, I'm having trouble hearing like it's too much to say to it, like if someone was disappointed in you, like if you're on a team sport and they're disappointed in you and they were like, you blew it for us, Caden Holland. It just is, it's a lot. So it's like, it seems like it when uttered, it would be in a positive manner.
Well, you take your time when you speak. So you say Caden Holland, but a coach would be like, Caden Holland, get off the fucking field.
Right. Then it sounds like he's ordering two people off the field, one named Kate and one named Holland.
Right. And then the girl, Kate, who's on the team for some reason, and the boy whose name is just Holland, both exit and two new subs come on.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's a classic joke.
I'll tell you something about this last name. The joke everyone would make was, so what if you get married? Like, is she going to just add her name and then you're Caden Holland, whatever. And like on and on and on. People love to ask that joke. And I got married and my wife took my name. She took this burden on. So she's Caden Holland and our boys are Caden Holland.
Oh, wow.
All right. So what are we dealing with here? I mean, we know there's no way her first name is Kate.
It's Katie. It's Katie.
It's is Katie it really? Holland.
Yep, 100%.
Oh my God. My God.
I mean, Katie, she's Catherine.
Katie. Now she needs the Holland because Katie Caton is just too cute.
Katie Caton sells cosmetics to her friends.
Yeah.
Katie Caton Holland's a little chill.
Yeah. She's best friends with Casey Kasem.
She's dressed in pink. She wears pink every day.
Casey Kasem by selling cosmetics to his wife.
Yeah. But Katie Caton Holland, that still could be, you know, a lawyer or something.
She's Catherine, but you know, no one calls her that. It's Katie Caton Holland.
Yeah, Catherine Caton, that gets that's got a weird sound to it.
Yeah, I agree with that. Her last name was Schluter. She was Katie Schluter, very German sounding. No. That's what she was.
See, that's why she accepted this both names, is because she needed to ditch that.
She was looking to branch out.
She was she needed to unschlute.
And there was never gonna be a Caden Holland Schluter for both of you?
No. I kind of told the person I knew whoever I married, I'd be like, look, you can do this if you want. You can keep your name if you want. And then we'll figure out some scenario with the children that you're comfortable with. I never was like trying to put it on the person. But Katie was down. She was down from the jump.
Have either of you guys ever had a Holland Schluter?
is that a drink?
I don't know. I was going to say if you had that drink, and then I started thinking, oh, that could just be, an expression for a lot of things.
Yeah, if you're trying not to swear for a while, and you're just like, oh, Holland Schluter. It works.
Yeah. Yeah. What in the name of Holland Schluter? So with all this business going on, all these options people had, on the playground when you were young, what kind of nicknames came out of it? I think you mentioned earlier some of the way people would say Caden Holland, just your full last name.
Yeah, but you know what? People got smart and they just shortened it. And people have called me ACH for 30 years. people say ACH when they're my bud. And I think, yeah, I love that. I think they're just like, this is too long. We got it. Here's three letters for you. Fuck off. Like, we don't have more time for this. So
did any close friends just even shorten that to ACK? They call you ACK?
Yeah. Like the, like a Kathy trip. Call back to the Grolix.
I was thinking ACK, like, yeah, they, like the aliens in Mars Attacks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They say ACK, but now I realize they're probably just trying to say attack, but they just can't say, their lips can't make T, the letter T. So they just end up saying ACK, ACK.
There's also some banking financial term that I know nothing about money and finance, but it is an ACH. It's like automatic cash something. It's like it's a banking term.
Yes, you can't really run with it like as a hashtag for your part of your brand, because no, people just click on it and just go to something boring.
Right, exactly. It suddenly you're like deep down a Chase rabbit hole.
What about ALCH? Well, that just sounds like a disease or something.
Ouch!
Ouch!
Oh, no.
Ouch!
Ouch! Ouch! My back.
That's like something someone would write instead of using a Growlix.
Yeah.
Let's all start saying "ouch" when we get hurt.
Ouch! I love it. I love it. I love, like, you know, Mad Magazine Don Martin, like words for, you know, like, just, you know, when something happens, just going sploink or whatever.
Totally. Durf, you know? Durf.
I just like durf. Making up. Blamp, you know, I just like making up things like that. So it's ACH then, ACH now. Has AOC changed that in any way, or do you think added to it?
No, I think she probably was aware I was doing it and realized it was a cool thing to do.
For sure.
I mean, I how could she not? We travel in similar circles. I'm out there. She's out there. So, yeah, she was probably influenced a little bit, and that's cool. I like that. That's a good contemporary.
I mean, she probably spends a lot of time in Denver.
Yep. I've played DC a number of times, and I guarantee she's probably heard I was in town or something at some point.
Have you ever, when you're playing in DC, have you ever had a known political, you know, person in the audience?
I'm not trying to name drop, but Senator John Hickenlooper, the senator from Colorado, is a personal friend of mine. He used to be the mayor in Denver, and I used to write for the Alt Weekly in Denver and met him back in those days, and we like went to the same college, and now he's like the senator, and I'll text him and shit. It's kind of, and I better be careful what I write here. A lot of people are reading this. He came to a show in DC. It was somebody else, a congressman, but I don't know who it was. I didn't remember. So my friend John Hickenlooper came to a show.
Hickenlooper, correct me if I'm wrong, Colorado, I mean, it feels like his political career was in tandem with the rise in legal weed there.
He ran for president very unsuccessfully, wildly unsuccessfully.
but he was pro legalizing cannabis in Colorado.
For sure. He was actually, like, downtown Denver used to be a real shithole. And then back in the day, and like late 80s, he opened up an old beautiful warehouse that used to be, you know, railroad stuff. He opened like the first microbrewery down there called like Wincoop Brewery. And it's sort of brought business to the area, and then the baseball stadium and blah, blah, blah. But he was a beloved businessman because he's like, hey, this scary part of town, I'm going to sell beer here. And then a million people were like, great idea, we're doing the same. But he was kind of the first to do that. And so that was his claim to fame in Denver. It's like, oh, the beer guy who helped transform downtown. Then he just climbed from there.
To weed.
I mean, I don't think he ever had any personal stake in it, but I don't think he naysayed it or anything.
I love it.
Right. I mean, I don't. Yeah, that's the thing is I don't know exactly which, I don't recall which politicians were specifically behind getting it going there. I'm just glad that it happened. And I have a positive association with his name for some reason.
Well, it's also just fun to say.
It really is.
There's an episode. There's an episode for you guys.
I just want to put his name on a Hicken loop over and over again. Like a TikTok or a reel.
Wait, Doug, have you ever had politicos come to your shows in DC? I'm curious. Either Doug.
Well, I think so.
That's why I asked, because of the fact that it is funny how when you play DC, there's certainly people in the audience have to be involved in politics in some way, a lot of them, but they, I don't know what it is. Like whenever I do crowd work there, it doesn't really seem like, it seems like all the people who live in DC but don't have anything to do with politics are going out to the comedy clubs. Uh-huh. The best I've ever had was in San Francisco, and it wasn't, I don't think it was because it didn't all go down because it was San Francisco, because obviously he didn't live and work there, but Al Gore had to sit through a set of mine because he came to the San Francisco Punchline to see Dave Chappelle. This was years ago, like after Al Gore was no longer in office. Like it was more like Inconvenient Truth times, the first
one. Yeah. Bearded silver fox Al Gore.
I was just excited that he was there. I mean, I wasn't even supposed to go on the show, but when I found out that, you know, Al Gore was going to be in the audience, I was like, can I do a short set? And, you know, they got to have lots of stuff ready at a Dave Chappelle show, because he doesn't go on until he's ready. Right. So you sort of have to just sort of fill the time. I think one time I did like 40 minutes waiting for the thumbs up that Dave was ready. which is, you know, it's tough for you when you're doing a bit going, is this my last bit? And then you go, is this my last bit? Like how much of this is I'm going to have to keep doing? How much shit am I going to have to pull out?
Also, those big shows, you know, they want to see the headliner. You know what I mean? You know, dying for that person. So you're like, do they even fucking like me? But I've been up here 40 minutes.
No, they're dying to watch him for 4 hours, you know, because it was when he do those all night shows in the clubs, which I guess I feel like he's still doing. So how do we get to that? Oh yeah, Al Gore saw my set, and I was, you know, I was pleased that I, you know, that he had to see it, and I even, you know, made sure that, you know, I got kind of a reaction, you know, from him after the show. I always try to be the other night I did a show and Gene Simmons and his wife Shannon Tweed were in the audience with their son. And after my set was over, she got up and went to the bathroom. But we're like, Gene Simmons was sitting, it would be too awkward to go over and say hi or try to get a picture or anything. But when she was coming back from the bathroom, she saw me and, you know, said, you know, you were funny or something like that. And it's always nice when that happens. I did at the same venue. I did a show where Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz were in the audience with their kids, and the act before me was so filthy that they left.
Oh, come on, man.
Like, oh my God. I was so excited that I got to do stand up in front of them, you know, and, who do you think Adam is the most, is Hickenlooper your most famous person that's been in an audience at one of your shows? Or do you have somebody that would top that?
I'm trying to think. It's all just friends who happened to become famous after the fact. Like they were never there for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like athletes in Denver blow my mind. Like John Elway was at a show of mine and he's like, yeah, well, sorry, Doug. he in Denver, that guy's, you know, big shit. So, and he was a big part of my childhood. So it's like, holy shit, John Elway's in attendance. And of course you just laser in on him. And he's like a right winger. You learn these things later that all your favorite athletes were right wing people. And I was up there just libtarding hard. And I kind of like leaned into it anyway. And so it didn't really go well. But at that point, I was like, I don't think I want John Elway to like my
Yeah. He was fun as a kid. Yeah. Looking up to, you know, guys like that. But yeah, he's not somebody, if he laughs at my jokes, I'm not telling good jokes, I think.
I think you're, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. That's kind of awesome to bomb in front of somebody famous. But I think every time somebody famous has been in the audience at any of my shows, I think it's gone pretty well, you know. And there was nobody in the audience when I did my, what's the college thing called where you go and...
Oh, NACA.
NACA. My NACA audition, there was, you know, Joe Coy was there, but that, again, that doesn't count. He became famous way later.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I bombed those NACA auditions real hard the first time. I remember that for sure. Oh,
I tried it a couple of times, and the first time was awful, and the second time was like just okay, but it barely got me any college work. Like, most of my college work ended up coming directly from colleges that were just like, you know, more liberal and just, you know, wanted us.
Wanted you specifically.
Yeah. They wanted a guy to come talk about pot.
Those shows helped me bridge the gap between, like, you know, part-time comedian and full-time comedian. So I went at it pretty hard for like 2 years, and now I'll go to some city and I'll just be like, oh yeah, I've been in this airport. I've been at this rental car place. And it's like, dream. I was like, you were here 12 years ago driving deep into this state to some shitty college to play for 11 people.
Yeah.
But at least the money stayed the same no matter how many students turned out.
No, for sure.
You know, so at least you got that going for you.
Absolutely. It helped me do what I needed to do.
But yeah, you'd have to like keep to your time and do like a full hour most of the time, and like half the time they were checked out 4 jokes in. You're like, all right, this is going to be a fun hour.
I mean, those shows, just crowd work. It was all crowd work. It's like literally sitting there and interviewing people. And like, what's your, it was just the hackiest shit, but there was always a check at the end of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when the crowd's that small, you guys just got to kind of talk to them. But even when they turn, I've played huge auditoriums full of college students. It just sort of, they don't, you know, they're just starting to learn. They haven't even been to a comedy club yet, you know, so they're just starting to learn how to behave, you know, and a lot of them just sort of sit there quietly.
Right. Yeah, right, for sure.
You know, and you can't, it's just, there's certain things you can't get into really. I'm not one of those comics. Like I didn't jump on that bandwagon of like schools are too progressive now. So you can't say shit, you know. I feel like college audiences are just tough, have been tough always.
I think you're totally right. I think
because they're always a bunch of people sitting there trying to figure out what the fuck they're doing with their lives, while, you know, so, you know, being weird about what you're doing is par for the course.
Yeah, and then they're self-conscious about like laughing at this thing or that thing because they want to be seen as cool to the others, and it's in a cafeteria and it's brightly lit and they're 100 yards away. It's like all the things are terrible conspiring against you. I agree. Yeah. I don't think it's because you're too raw to for the college kids to handle it.
Right. No, because you just never know what's going to set somebody off. And if that person's good at writing a letter or talking to the right person, then, you know, it creates a little shitstorm, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
But I never had any serious issues in terms of like, you know, but a place could be like, we're not going to pay you, you know, turn off the microphone on you and say they're not going to pay you. You know, if you like, because there was definitely a lot of schools that were like, you know, hey, you know, keep it PG-13. And I'd be like, all right, well, you know, that means I can say fuck once.
And I they never show my boobs.
Because that's also the standard. It's just no F-bombs is what they say. And I'm like, all right, you really don't understand that there's worse words than the F-bomb. It's not even in the top 10 worst words, probably. But here's the most important question that we ask all of our guests, you know, time permitting. ACH, tell us about the Dougs that you've known.
Man. Oh, boy, I got a good one for you.
Okay.
Ooh. The first one that comes to mind is I went to college at Wesleyan University, and at the first 2 years of school, I was a depressed screw-up, and I just vandalized all the time with my friends. We would get drunk. We would break shit. We were bad, self-righteous little assholes. And I thrived on it. I loved breaking stuff. And one night I went kind of nuts and broke a lot of stuff. And I learned later I was very depressed and was acting out in a wildly inappropriate way. Therapy, therapy, therapy. I'm fine. But one night I went really wild and I broke a big window on one of the old pretty buildings on campus. And I got caught in the act by public safety. And the guy caught me and he's like, "Why are you breaking the president of the university's office window?" And I was like, "Oh God, I really truly didn't know." And they were like, "Yeah, right." And they thought I was making a political statement. And that guy, it was President Doug Bennett. and Doug Bennett then loomed over me because I got into so much trouble. And I tried to apologize to Doug Bennett through a letter and explain I didn't know it was his office window. He was having none of it. He was like, "The point is, why'd you do it? Accountability, blah, blah, blah." And so, yeah, Doug Bennett, and everyone thought I was like kind of a badass for doing it. And I was like, "I'm just like breaking stuff and kind of lost." But I was like, I was linked with Doug, president of the university, Doug Bennett, as like, I was the guy that was trying to take him down. and I wasn't at all. I was just hit the wrong window. But yeah, so Doug Bennett is the first one that comes to mind.
Wait, so you did think it was somebody else's window?
No, it was just like in my war path. Honestly, like if you had, if you had done a cartoon drawing, you'd just see all the things that I broke. It was like, that just happened to be in the direction between where I was at and the way to my dorm. And I just kind of picked the worst window I could have picked. I just happened to smash. And it was the president's office, you know, cause now they're thinking I'm like an activist and I'm like, I've got some statement and am I a threat to the campus and all this shit? And it was more just like, I'm just howling at the moon like an idiot, but it turned into a whole thing.
Did law enforcement get involved?
Well, public safety was like the on-campus law enforcement.
Okay.
And they called the Middletown police and they were like, it was clear to them. They're like, this is your problem. This is not a real problem. We have real problems. But so no, it was an in-house police.
I love that they called them though. That's so funny.
I know. When they showed up, I was like, what is this? Is going from bad to worse. But then they were like, we got real problems downtown. But yeah, this guy seems like you got it under control.
Yeah. So what was the punishment then? Is lots of detention or that kind of thing?
Well, at the time it was towards the end of the school year and they deemed me like a threat to the campus and they put me on an interim suspension, which meant I had to get off campus. So I had to move into like an off campus house and live with these like hockey goons who were like, "We got a house and you're our new hero. Come on in."
and then I bet you some of them were probably named Doug.
Yeah.
It was a house of six hockey Dougs. Yeah. And I mean, I they wouldn't let me take my finals. So all my grades plummeted. I couldn't like go to class and I was, on suspension for the rest of my time. I was there. I had to do tons of hours of community service and go to mandatory therapy and pay all the damage. It was a big deal.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Pay all the damage. Did you have like a income at the time?
No, I went home that summer and worked it off basically. Like I did community service. I did community service hours, went to the shrink because I had to, and then I worked and like all that money went back to Wesleyan University. it wasn't a good time for me. So the main Doug in my life was that guy. It takes me to a bad place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like a villain, like Dean Wormer, I'm picturing.
Right, right.
You know, except, you gotta accept that college students are gonna rebel a little bit.
Right, and even it's only though natural. They don't mean to, it's only natural. I was just having fun. But yeah, that's my first, probably, and no other real Dougs come to mind.
Oh, well, that's that's a big one. Like I would think, all the other Dougs would just be lurking in Doug Bennett's shadow in your in your psyche. But you now, know, of course, yes.
I'm sorry. That Doug Bennett, he's since passed away. His son Michael Bennett is the other Colorado U.S. senator with John Hickenlooper. It's Michael Bennett, Doug Bennett's son, and John Hickenlooper are the two senators for Colorado. And
that is Michael Bennett. Up.
Michael Bennett has never been to a show of mine, nor do I have his number.
If anybody out there can get Michael Bennett to a show, that'd be delightful.
I think he'd like my stuff. I'm sorry about everything with your dad. It was not about him at all. It was shit I was going through.
Yeah. And it's just, that's the thing is, teenage vandalism is just sort of like, just going to happen. Because it's just, there's too much, and rather you break a window than go, do something to a person or something,
For sure. I targeted inanimate objects and I wrote no manifestos. I was just breaking shit.
Not one manifesto. Nah.
I mean, I wrote some bad poetry and stuff, a bad screenplay, but no manifestos.
I was like, I don't know why we had a yearbook, but I was hanging out with a friend of mine, late at night on a college campus. Like we were like stayed late for like rehearsals for something and nobody was around. And there's like this big grass field next to the biology building. And I was looking for his picture in the yearbook and he was like, oh, I hate that picture. And before I could get to that page, he like took the yearbook out of my hand and started running with it. And I forget if it was anybody else besides me, but it was at least me, maybe somebody else. We were like chasing him across the grass and he got close enough to the building that he thought he could just chuck this heavy book up to the roof. So he just hurls it. And of course it just goes right through the window.
Oh no.
And we never got caught.
We just broke the window and ran off.
We just took off and, nothing ever came of it, but it was like, at the time, it's one of those things, like, especially if it's a movie or TV show, it's all about like the next day you're at school, just spending the whole day waiting to have some, hand land on your shoulder and be like, come to the office with me,
I know that feeling very well. That feeling very well.
Like there's going to be some sort of, something's going to give us away, but we're not going to volunteer that we did it. I mean, in my case, I didn't even do it, so I didn't really have anything to confess to, but it was still funny that we got away with it. And it must have been like somebody else's yearbook, because you'd think that would have been a trail back to us if it had belonged to one of us.
What was going on in that photo that your friend could not allow you to see it that intensely?
He just hated it, like vanity or something. I don't know what it was, because I don't even remember if I ever like looked at the picture. I think like, we were in the drama department, so I feel like he got some, some undue remarks from other students about his masculinity. So I feel like it's a picture of him like, standing, not the most masculine pose or something.
Sure, sure. And he'd had enough.
Yeah, yeah. And was in the closet. So like that's frustrating.
Got it.
Wow, I think we're almost out of time. This has really flown by. We always ask about names, your name and the people in your life that have your name. Did you have Adams played a big role in your life at all?
There's always been other Adams. I've never been the only Adam. And I'm trying to think if I have any buddies named Adam currently. No, I think, instinctually, when you meet another Adam, you're kind of like, well, it's you or me, buddy. I don't think I'm keeping you around. I mean, you teamed up for Doug's a podcast.
Yeah, we teamed up, but you know, that's just because, you know, just out of frustration that we have the same dumb name. But you know, it's worked out okay for us in terms of, like, you know, as we discussed on the show a few times before, there's other comedians named Doug, but there's not, you know, there's not a shit ton of them.
Right.
So it works out okay.
As you and I discussed, Doug, there's Adam Clayton, bass player for U2. There's Adam Clayton Powell, congressman out of New York. These men have my name, but not, and make everyone think that my name is Adam Clayton. So those have also been similar adversarial Adams that I've had in my life throughout my entire life. Never met them. And if I do, I'd probably tell them all the pain they've caused me.
I don't think I've ever had an adversarial Doug. I mean, there's certainly been some Dougs I'm, you know, not interested in, but I don't think I've ever had like
your own Doug Bennett
enemy situation, or like somebody like that. Like, I don't think anybody that was, you know, an authority figure was also named Doug, but I, you know, could have missed it also. Cause sometimes, you know, we don't deal with, you know, first names that much sometimes in like law enforcement and school principals and stuff, you know.
Well, also, you guys don't know where this podcast is going. I mean, one of you could start stealing Patreon money or something, and this really gets nasty. I'm just saying it's a fluid situation.
Well, what would you like to promote about yourself, Adam Caton Holland, before we go?
Well, thanks for having me on. This was so much fun. I got a podcast called The Grolic Saves the World with my buddies, and we do passive aggressive self-help challenges every episode to try to better the world around us. And it's a lot of fun and it's growing. So if you're into pods and looking for one, The Grolic Saves the World might just be up your alley.
And does the Grolic have a Twitter account?
Yeah, it's at Grolic Comedy. GRAWLIX. Grolic Comedy.
COMEDY.
Yes. The traditional
spelling comedy spelling. Couldn't figure out a way to get a Z in there or something. Or an X. Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah, man.
And Doug, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Just grab one of my many albums that have the words Fart Safari in it. You'll have a good time.
Yep. There's the original and then sequels.
Fart Harder.
The whole deal. My Doug plugs are the following. Doug Loves Movies is going to be at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles this Sunday at 4:20. And then I'm doing stand-up at the Improv in Irvine, California on Wednesday, August 24th. And Adam, we always come up with a, like a punny title that has something to do with the name of our guest or something about the guest. And I was thinking, I thought of something because of the last name Holland, which we didn't get into, how Dutch sounding.
Oh God, I got a whole story about Holland. We'll have to come back. There's a whole,
we'll have to do a follow-up. We'll have a follow-up visit at some point, but for now, and as always, this has been Double Dutch Doug.
Got it.